Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and let's just worship the Lord for just a moment. Father, we glorify you. We bless you and we exalt you. We thank you for, Lord, an expectation. You are the God of expectation. You're the God of hope. You're the God of believing for something beyond where we're standing. And Father, we give you all the praise and glory. We ask, precious Holy Spirit, that Lord, that you will generate inside of us a godly hope, a godly expectation of more than what we have had, beginning first in our fellowship, in our relationship, and then echoing out of that would be everything else, Lord, a multitude after multitude standing in the valley of decision. And we give you all the praise and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It really is all about, we're going to go into some reiteration of what we said Sunday. But let me tell you that it is all about souls. And I can't say that enough. It's all about souls. It's all about getting people born again. And folks, I know that there's so many of you going through different things, and the enemy wants to get us diverted. But when I talk about enlarging this church, I'm talking about not that I'm on some ego trip, but there's a hope inside of me of an expansion, of God seeing us really, really outgrow this building. This building is way, even though we're not filling it up, this building should be seemingly in our eyes way too small for our vision. Way too small. And it's all about souls. It's all about sharing with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, one of the things that I believe is that we make it way too hard. You're getting a tremendous education by the Word of God. And most of you know more now than what Peter, James, and John started out with in the beginning of their ministry. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Word of God was not yet written. The revelation had to be given to them by the Holy Spirit. But if you put us in a time machine and you go back and you compare knowledge of what you know, some of the least among you, if you considered yourself least, you would be a teacher to Peter, James, and John. Yet they had the power of the Holy Ghost, and they did what the Master left them to do, and that's to see the expansion of the kingdom. And one of the ways that they did it was, listen, it's simple. We've got to tell people, even though it seems like it's saturated throughout all America, don't ever underestimate the power of the gospel. Did you hear me? The simple power that Jesus died to give eternal life, was resurrected, and he wants to give eternal life to every individual. It's just that simple. And the Holy Ghost, see, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Listen, our message to the people around us, the people on the street, don't start talking to them about all the depth of knowledge that you know in here. Don't start talking to them. Listen, the Holy Ghost doesn't even anoint firsthand you talking about him baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. His first place of anointing for you as an evangelist, and every one of you are, you're salt and light. Remember I said Sunday at one point, I said, please, God's not calling a bunch of you to go into prayer and quit your jobs. He wants a very small, one of the reasons why he wants a very small force of ministers is that he wants to leave you out there in the workplace. You're supposed to be salt and you're supposed to be light. And one of the things I'm seeing about the Holy Spirit, I don't do an excellent job, but it's a joy to me. It's not like an obligation. I'm not as much salt as you are because I'm not out there as much. My job is to pray. My job is to get into this Word, seek the Lord, and give to you the wisdom of God and direction. So I'm not out in a workplace, but when I go to a restaurant with candy, or I go into GNC, or I go into a store, or I go into a place, I often, very, very often, or I see people walking down my street, I ask people. You know what? I've found out people don't mind you asking them. I'll ask people, do you have Jesus Christ or do you have Christ in your life? And I don't do it. I'll start a conversation with them, yes, sir. But I'm headed somewhere.
Yes, sir.
I'm headed somewhere. And by the time she gets back, by the third time or fourth time to the table or starting to leave, people, and I've never had anybody, I've never had anybody cuss me out. I've never had anybody be extremely rude. But here's the thing. The power of God is on the gospel. The power of God is on the simplicity that Jesus died and was resurrected. If you don't start sharing with them about all the stuff that I teach in here, ask them, do you have Jesus in your life? Most people will lie to you and say, yes, they do. Most people will. But at least you sow the seed. When I go to CVS or when I go, I'll ask them, do you go to church anywhere? Do you go to church? No. Well, or yes. It was refreshing to me the other day. I was someplace and I asked a guy, do you have Christ in your life? I think it was I was at Coconut Point or someplace. And I asked, do you have Christ in your life? And he said, no, I don't. I said, man, that is a wonderful answer. I'm so glad that you were honest, that you would just tell me. Because most people, I didn't tell him this, most people lie. Most people say, yes, I do, just to get you off. And then it gave me the opportunity, or it'll give you the opportunity, to don't start giving them a whole bunch of scripture. Testify to them of what Christ means to you. Christ changed my life. Christ changed my life. That's where the Holy Spirit gets involved. See, folks, He wants to fill these empty seats up with more people. Now, we don't have a street ministry right now, per se. God has, we've thought about it a few times, and God has said no. We may sometime in the future. All I know is until He says yes, we won't. But that does not inhibit you as an individual to continually testify everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, even if you don't testify, then have an expectation of saying, Lord, how can I be a testimony? Now, this doesn't sound like, you know, real deep, deep, calleth unto deep preaching, but I'm going to tell you this. We've been left here as salt. Salt is supposed to be penetrating something. We've been left here as light. We've been left here as wheat among the tares. People need hope, and we're supposed to be giving them hope. Hallelujah. Now, we talked about Sunday, and this I'll rehearse as quickly as possible because I want to go into just a couple of other key points here tonight. We talked about Sunday, how this is the beginning of the year, and all the beginning of the year info commercials and all those kinds of things. And if you weren't here Sunday, please go online. That message is already posted, and it's called Preparing for 2016. We've already got some wonderful reviews on it. In this sense of the word, people said, man, I enjoyed the real practical lessons of concerning, because some of the things that we talked about is how to get past spiritual laziness, how to jumpstart yourself into 2016. And some of the stuff you've heard time and time again, but we went into how to make the appointment, how to keep the appointment, and what you were supposed to be expecting in the appointment. You say, what appointment? Get the, you know, go online and listen to preparing for 2016. We may say some of it tonight as we go forward. But all these info commercials are people trying to better themselves. We said this time of year, more people go to, you know, join gyms, and they never get past January. You know, they never get past. You know, they'll spend $300 or $400. And they never, they'll buy fancy gadgets and gadgets that don't work. They'll go on stupid diets. And you say, stupid, yeah. Anything that you can't live with for the next 10 years, when you put yourself in a mode where you're saying, well, I'm going to start, they say if I cheat protein, or if I cheat carbohydrates, or if I cheat, you know, you can't, you should not cheat protein, carbohydrates, fats, fruits and vegetables, and all the rounded things that make a person healthy. If you start pulling all that out, some part of your diet is going to be, God created all that for you to eat. Now, folks, I am blessed just like you're blessed. I eat everything. I don't eat excessively bad things, but I eat everything. And praise be to God, I just had a physical, and I'm, thank you, Jesus, all the glory to God. I am as healthy as a horse, a healthy horse, not a sick horse, a healthy horse. Hallelujah. Everything is lined up in the way that it should be, and all the glory to God. But I say all that to say this, the spiritual implication is this. Set a course, and the only reason why I say that is this. There are times where it seems like that we will have a spark of hope concerning change for the future. And I think that, I really believe that even though God doesn't deal with calendar dates, He doesn't. As far as, okay, something, you know, there's going to be a whole lot of prophecies. And we got one Sunday, and it prophecy oftentimes is something forthtelling, and it gives a sense of hope and direction. And I would have to, my mind's not there right now, but I'd have to go back and remember, but I'm sure that it was talking about what's ahead of us, and God wants to do that. He wants to tell us what's ahead of us, but understanding this, there's nothing magical about any particular calendar date, as in, okay, God held back His anointing for 20 years, and then on such and such in 2016, boom, this is the year that He's going to do. No, the only reason why that He can do what He's doing is that people come to places of maturity, they get past the flesh, they stay steady long enough until what God says, okay, I can build on them a foundation, and they can go forward. And so, that's the expectation. Now, we're at the end of a year, and I really believe God deals with emotions, and I think God deals with expectations, and the world knows that. The world tries to get you involved and kind of pull you in. We talked about the difference between not making New Year's resolutions, but setting spiritual goals, setting physical goals, setting financial goals. Listen, because God wants to take you to the next place. He really does. He wants to take you to the next place. And one of the worst things that you can possibly do, to kind of reiterate from where we're at Sunday, the only reason why we're talking about don't get involved with, you know, foolish diets and fancy gadgets and gadgets that you won't use, and, you know, making commitments that you won't do, is that in the same way, spiritually, which is your core, If you don't take care of the core part of it, which is the spirit, nothing else will work. Nothing else will work. So the compass that has to be set, and everything that works out of that, is that spiritual core. Well, we talked about, you know, making those appointments, and many of you understand that. Many of you are doing that already, and keeping those appointments with God and getting into the Word of God, and how important the Word of God is for all of us. Hallelujah. We went to two different scriptures, and that was in Proverbs 20:18 and Proverbs 18:1. So we're talking about how to get out of spiritual laziness. And another one of those ways was make the appointment. The other one was to go to the Word of God and build a strong place in the Word of God. The third one was, and we won't go into all of that, was to build a spiritual blueprint for yourself. And we talked about all the aspects of what that spiritual blueprint was. And it's your war manual. And we shared all the different things that you should put in that particular war manual. One of the things that I said, and I think this bears repeating, I mean, I could say it for 10 services in a row and it would not be outdated. We had all of you look around, and you didn't know why you were looking around to start with, but I said, you're looking at possible statistics, and that's the truth. And it's a sobering thought, but I stand here, and I realize, and I pray that I always realize in the fear and trembling that Paul had in Corinthians, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 9:26. I might be wrong. I said it Sunday and I said it correctly. But Paul said, I keep under my body, my flesh, and I bring it under subjection, lest having preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Or the word is to be disqualified. So we all have to understand this as we go forward, how important it is to stay doing what we've always been taught to do. You may go through lulls. Don't let the devil beat you up if you haven't been praying for the last 3 or 4 days, 3 or 4 weeks, 3 or 4 months, 2015. Just say, okay, I'm not expecting. Listen, I can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. And you're going to, all of us, you know, all of us are going to stand before him, and we're not going to be able to say, I can't say Candy. And he's going to say, I'm not talking to Candy right now. And she can't say, well, Bronk. And he's going to say, I'm not talking to Bronk right now. I'm talking to you. You knew. You knew. So all of us know and understand the greater news was this. God is greater than the devil. We're greater than the devil. Your spirit's greater than the flesh. Hallelujah. Just keep doing it. We exhorted you out of Mark chapter 4. And then we gave you this. We give you some wraparound understanding of what our expectations are as far as our financial goals. With also, we're going to talk just a few moments about your blessing and about you going forward and what you should be expecting for yourself in 2016. We mentioned, I don't think in 20 years that I've ever told blatantly the congregation how much is owed on the mortgage. We gave you that figure on Sunday, and we said we named about 9 different things that we're believing God around here for financial, for the improvements of this building, to different things that this building needs, to the payoff of the mortgage, to the camera. See, one of the things that I will tell you this, and this is not your bad, and it's not really my bad. I don't have any condemnation, but I'm way, way late on the video stuff. Okay? I'm just going to admit to you, I'm running behind with God. He's not mad at me, but I'm running behind with God on us being using video equipment. The vision, it's not mine, but I know that the Lord came to me a long time ago. We're supposed to have cameras rolling back there. And this is supposed to be set up. We don't necessarily have to be live streaming right away. I think that we may tape for a while, edit, and then go and do something like Gary's doing, like YouTube. That would be acceptable. But there's going to be some real changes. And I'm asking you to help me pray that we, number one, we as a congregation get in total obedience in 2016 and make some major advancements in that particular area. Now, it's not just purchasing the equipment, but it's also once we purchase the equipment, it's going to cost a whole lot more money than what we've got and what we've coming in. There's no way with what we've got coming in that we can be obedient. So God's got to be the one to supply it. you got to purchase more air, I guess they call it bandwidth, on the server, and that's a whole lot more per month. I mean, it's a whole lot more to do video than it is to do audio. And so God's telling us to do it. I believe He's going to supply it. And it doesn't have to, I don't want you to feel a burden. I, number one, want you to understand that in the future, whether it's through you or through your prayers, that God's going to speak to people. And we said this Sunday, to wrap your mind around it, God's going to say to people, here, go tell the pastor, here, this is $20,000, use it. This is $30,000. Listen, I hear about it in other ministries. It can happen here as well. Here's $50,000. And God's going to get a hold of some people's hearts, not just in this congregation. It doesn't have to be here. It can be here. I would love to be a person who had the wherewithal to come and say, Pastor, here's $10,000. We need it. We can use it. We can use it for the equipment. We can use it to buy airtime. God's saying to do that, and I believe that it's and God's going to speak to people's hearts, not just this congregation. But listen, we're already on something called the WWW. You know what that is? The World Wide Web. People in Australia are hearing us. People in Europe are hearing us. God can touch their hearts. But I'd love to see God touch the people's hearts of right here in Immokalee, right here in our church, right here in the Family Prayer Center, right here wherever. And, I just believe God's going to get a hold of hearts all around, And He's going to supply for them. And when they get the supply, they're going to, how many has ever heard or ever watched The Little Rascals? A few. What is it? It's not Spanky. Is it Alfalfa or Buckwheat or which one of them go, I got a dollar, I got a dollar, I got a dollar, hey, 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 hey. And there's going to be some people going, I got a 25,000, I got 30,000. God said, no, whoa, 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 whoa. You got half that. You ain't got a dollar. You ain't got 30,000. You ain't got 40,000. You got half that. I got the other half. And that's how God speaks, if you really turn your life over to Him. Because what we're after here is not building the pastor a big home. I'd like a nice home in the future, but I'm after the gospel. I'm telling you, we need to believe God together as a congregation, whether it comes from Europe or whether it comes from here or whether it comes by God speaking to people's hearts and saying, okay, part of what you got, I gave to you for that purpose. But we're wanting to be obedient to God. And people are going to see our ministry, hear our ministry when the revival starts taking place. And even before that, there are some really fantastic, and I'm not bragging on myself, and I'm not bragging on Homer, but folks, there is some word going forth from here that the nations need to hear. And they can hear it, but we're living a technological era, a time in which really to touch people, they not only need to hear it, they need to see it as well. And it's going to change a whole lot of things, but I'm glad for change. I love change. I don't like same old, same old. It's going to change some things about Homer and I. We're not going to be able to say, because I'll say to Candy, just like Homer, we need to edit that. Listen, once you say it on live TV, you can't go back and edit it. So you got to say what you mean and say mean what you say. And you can't say, oops, I should have waited on that. I gotta start preparing myself. Homer's got to prepare himself. It's going to be a whole new ball game. But thank God, listen, Paul would have done it. Jesus would have done it. And we're just going to follow His footsteps. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I would encourage you to listen to God. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anybody else, but set some of those goals. Set them for yourself. What kind of goals? Number one, your spiritual goals. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be at the end of this year? Sometimes we get so spiritual, and you know what I'm about, and I desire to increase in what I'm about, and that is to spend time with Him. You know what Homer's about. But a lot of times we'll think, okay, let's pray and let's increase and let's see the glory of the Lord. But sometimes the way the glory of the Lord is seen, in other words, what you see that has been accomplished, is in the natural. In other words, the natural is a barometer, or it's a telltale sign of what has went through the Spirit and has been accomplished. Because it's just like it's just like this, just like how I'm trying to sell this thing about the video and online and streaming. Even though that's not anybody getting out of a wheelchair or anybody falling down or those kinds of services that we sometimes equate only those things of spiritual. But listen, to get those things accomplished, do you realize how many demons you got to go through? Listen, the trials that you guys are going through, it's personal, but it's not personal. The big picture is this. The big picture is to stop revival. And the Maroon Typhoon, listen, all those people I absolutely love that have left, people are what I'm about, what you're about. I've never preached, by the grace of God, looking at them as a dollar sign. But listen, when people leave, you understand this, the finances go way down. There have been elders leave here. There have been people leave here. There have been money givers that have been. When they leave, it drops way, way down. It's just like, okay, I'm believing God for a paycheck. I'm believing God for the lights to be on. I'm believing, you know, and we may edit some of this. And if I was on video, I might say it anyway. But the finances go way, way down. You don't think that he doesn't, part of the reason why that he distracts people is so that there's, you'll never ever get accomplished, because to have the videos, you've got to have people, and then with people, you got to have money coming in to do that. So part of the whole fight is not just those people leaving. Part of the whole fight is the big picture of revival, to stop revival. So when you do see things accomplished like that, you say, wait a minute. The distraction that people had against their family, against their finances, against their bodies, against everything. And sometimes when you get in that fight, people aren't giving. People are just, you know, they're just trying to survive. They're just like, trying to tread water and just live just for another day. And so people leave, and then the church is in a place. Listen, do I look like I'm starving? I'm not starving. I'm fine. I'll be all right. I'm not preaching about me. I'm just saying the fight is all about keeping us from doing what we're supposed to do. And when we see those things take place, and I believe in 2016 we'll see them taking place back there, we're not just going to see the camera. We're going to see the money to put it, you know, the bandwidth, however, if that's hundreds of dollars a month, or if that's whatever it is, Jim will let me know. But once we get that going, it'll also be a sign to say, wait a minute, what glory took place in the spirit realm to get that accomplished? Because there was a real fight to get it accomplished, and praise God, we got her done. Hallelujah. Listen, there's already been a lot of things in, you know, 2015 that have been accomplished. You're here. You're still here. That's a major accomplishment. You're still here. We've had some corrections and directions to our children's church, and to you know, just a more a directive to build for a larger day and hour. We can't be, you know, there were some things we had to change. Listen, we've advanced. God has advanced in us in our praise and worship. Praise God. I thank God, and she doesn't need this. She doesn't like it when I do it so much. I thank God for years of service of my wife. And I just love her so dearly for what she does, and she never complains about it. She's doing other stuff. For years she worked the nursery next door, like many of you ladies. She's led worship. She does spend, you know, there's some evenings I'm like, come in here, watch TV with me. No, she's got to be in there doing, you know, and she does it like so many of you for free, you know, and she really would, I should be paying somebody to do this, and it would be worth to the church some to pay somebody to do this, but she's doing it out of her heart. But I say all that to say this, she's led worship for years, but she's so glad to see these young men take it over. And it hasn't it been wonderful to see them begin to transition and to take it over? That's a major advancement for the Family Prayer Center. We're about to springboard into some places like we never have been before. And it's really, really cool when I see people holding their ministries loose and say, look, it's all about the kingdom. It's all about, you know, the kingdom. God advance us. It's all about Him. Ask God for financial blessings for you. You say, Pastor, I'm fine. I don't need any. No. You need some more. Why? Because you need to be putting more up here. And I want you blessed too. You say, Pastor, I get along good. I'm just fine. No, ask God to increase you. Ask God to increase you. He wants to increase you because He wants those cameras going. He wants us. He wants the repairs on this building that needs to take place. And eventually He wants us to move it. And we said, look, the man or the people that finance this building, what I say, there's $106,174.44 as of the end of November 30th. Now listen, if you bring in the $106,000, I'll pay the $174.44, I promise. Hallelujah. You'll split it with me. Glory to God. Now there's a man right there. There's a real man right there. So, you know what? I'm not praying. Somebody says, let's just pray that it be forgiven. I'm not praying it'll be forgiven. I'm praying we pay it. I pray, you know, the man has never charged a dime of interest. And if it would have been a bank, folks, they would have put us out of here a long time ago. We've not made the payments that we started out with. I feel open enough to tell you, we've made minimal payments. We give something every week, but it's so small that a bank would have thrown us out and we'd be meeting out somebody's pasture or something. But I'm not praying that this thing is forgiven. I'm praying that we pay it. The day and hour I can walk into that man's office and say, here, look. Thank you, sir. I hope that has a lot to do with his salvation. Praise God. Isn't that something? A man that's not yet born again was kind enough to do something for this house. Praise be to God. That's amazing. But I don't want it forgiven. I want it paid. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that you're in agreement with me. So, believe God also for your health needs. Maybe this is a year that you want to set goals. And we're just talking real practical. Because the spirit and the practical, it all kind of works together like a puzzle. Maybe for you, just something physical, miracles. I'm talking to people. I was talking to people, one man in this service was talking about the progression in his body. And I've seen that progression, how that it's, you know, continually being healed and getting healthier and healthier and healthier. Maybe 2016 means just for you general health, that there's some things that you want to conquer. It all begins, listen, we're not one of those body conscious churches. I'm not trying to create that. But listen, it all works together. It really does. What I'm saying is, start with the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Quote the Word of God. Find scriptures to change whatever it is that's ailing your body. If you've got a problem here, a problem there, find some scriptures that you can on a continual basis, you know, quote. But also, do everything that works with it. Maybe 2016 means not just your general health, but a particular healing in your body. You know, you've got something that's been there a long time. Do everything that works with it. God works with wisdom. You're not going to be able to. You all understand this. You can't see the laws of God work the same way for everybody. The same way for everybody. you know, if a guy says, well, no, what, let's just be, I do not believe in being legalistic, okay? If you find something that works for you, that's wonderful. If it's balanced, it's wonderful. Just because it works for you, don't try to sell everybody else on it, okay? I was talking to another man today that had a question concerning, and I won't get into what it is because it could get into a whole lot tonight, but he asked a question concerning, is this healthy? Can you do this on a daily basis? And it was consuming something. And I said, look, we're not living in Grandpa's day. And I gave him this example. I said, look, 50 years ago, if the crime scene investigators got there to the crime scene and a hunter was walking out of the woods and there's a murder scene there and the hunter's got blood on him, they arrest the guy because they don't know if he's, you know, and it takes forever, you know, and they still don't know if that's deer blood or if that's, you know, the human blood. I said, nowadays, within moments, no time at all, they not only can tell you if that's human blood, they can tell you if that's a white, you know, a white man, a black man, an Indian man, and then they can tell you what tribe it is. I mean, they can go in. This is not Grandpa's day. And I said, look, I've done research on this, and all, I'm not a doctor. I said something that was a misnomer Sunday. I said, I've studied sports medicine. I've not studied sports medicine. I've studied sports nutrition. I've done quite a bit of reading on that. A lot of stuff that people thought was really unhealthy for you, they know now that in many cases that's the exact opposite. Some things are okay, and some things that they thought, my God, that's a taboo, it's really, really not. So all you have to do is Google, go to like Mayo Clinic. You'll find a lot of stuff that's good for you, a lot of stuff that's bad for you. It's really, thank God for the technology. And the main thing is listen to your own body. Listen to what you can and cannot put in there. But what I'm saying about all that is this. Speak the word. That's the number one place. But you're not going to be able to speak the word and just all the time put all kind of junk in your body. I don't care who you are spiritually. Put all kind of junk in your body day after day. Never get any exercise. Never do the right things for your body and live a healthy life. You're contradicting wisdom. And it's like, no, I'm just going to believe God, Pastor, and I'm just going to pray over it. And you be, you know, you just work out and do your little gym stuff and, you know, all that stuff. And I'm just going to pray and believe God, and I'm just going to eat what I want to. Listen, if you believe that you can defy natural laws, you need to climb the Empire State Building. Say, bless God, the same way that I curse those calories, I curse gravity, and I'm just going to step out. It works all the. It works for everybody. And here's the deal. I don't like, you know, getting into the, I love, you know, working out. It's not something I just started. I've been doing it ever since I was in high school. So, you know, the good thing about it is I can work out. Candy, you know, she enjoys working out. The good thing I can work out, and Candy's saying, you know, you've always done this, so I'm not looking at you like, what's wrong with you, you know, or you trying to get buffed up so you can, you know, do something carnal here or whatever. It's enjoying what you're doing, but the thing about it is, you don't have to go join a gym, and you don't have to get body conscious, but you should begin to ask the Lord, what improvements can I do, not legalistically, but what improvements can I do overall in my eating? And I said Sunday, diet should not be a verb, it should be a noun. And what I mean by that is not something that you begin to go into a fad on, but it should be a continual lifestyle. Is this all right, what I'm telling you? I'm not trying to be, sometimes I feel like, wow, maybe I should just be going line on line of the word, but I believe this helps. Because you can't defy, and somebody says, look, you know what, don't get off into that physical stuff. Let's stick to the word. Listen, here's the deal. I don't care how much knowledge that you have of the word of God or how much doctrine you have. I do care. That's very wonderful. But you can be a Cadillac in knowledge and in wisdom. But if your body is broke down, that's where you're at. And you can have a whole lot of Volkswagens that don't know half of what you know, don't know a third of what you know, but they're able to go and do and be and whatever God asks them to do. If you're laying in a bed sick, or if your body is broke down and you don't have any energy and you can't do, listen, and I don't want this misconstrued. There are some people that I know that are wonderful men of God who have had physical attacks against their body, and it's not due to poor diets or poor, it's just horrible spiritual attacks, and those are great men of God, and we're standing with them, and they're going to walk totally out of that. And I'm not talking about Homer. Homer's taking care of himself real good. I'm talking about some other people that I thought of in other churches. I don't want anything misconstrued, but I'm telling you this. I'm telling you, we can't defy the law. Just like you can't defy gravity, you can't defy putting stuff in all the time. If you're a diabetic, you can't eat a high-carb diet night after night after night after night after night, and say, I'm going to claim my healing. I'm going to claim, you know, and I can say all this stuff. First of all, Homer's not even a diabetic anymore. You know, you say, you know, that is totally out of his system. Praise God. He tests perfect all the time. And I hadn't talked to him in a while. He may correct me on that, but it's really been good for a long time, hadn't it, Homer? So I only say that to say I'm not standing up here talking. I'm not even thinking about Homer at all. That man's so far in the good, it's pitiful. It's wonderful, I should say. But so I just want you to get the balance. And anybody that's hearing it from any other churches, it's a balance thing. And I'm not perfect in this, but it's a balance thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are we good?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Wow, we're doing real good. We're almost there. Tomorrow night we'll talk a little bit more. We'll give you an opportunity to take communion with us, and also to listen to the Lord and to do some journaling as well. I would say make this a year where you really claim your loved ones like never before. Like never before. Understand the power of the simplicity. Again, as I said, of the gospel. Don't make it too hard. I would encourage you to put yourself in sometimes uncomfortable situations. And what I've found out, I am not perfect in this thing, but one of the things I've found out is that if I'll just start the conversation, it seems like the Holy Ghost takes over. And it seems like there's a grace that comes so that there's a boldness that I can begin to, and it just comes natural then, you know, like, do you have Christ in your life? Well, no, well, why not? Or have you heard the story? Or you know, you just begin to share. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to need all hands on deck. We're going to need the intercessors praying. We're going to need the intercessors praying for givers. Sometimes it may be intercessors / givers, but we need all of you, and many of you are going to get assignments to help us. One of the things too that I said Sunday is that we're going to need the finances, and again, the pressure is off of you, because all I'm asking you to do is pray. And we're on the World Wide Web, and God could, even if we weren't, God could speak to people's hearts. But it makes it a whole lot easier when your voice is already out there, okay, and anybody can tune in. But we're going to need employees. We're going to need employees to do some things. I'd like to bless this man. I really would. I'd like to bless this man right here. He does, we occasionally give him a little bit, but it's nothing. It's for years. He's done everything voluntarily, like many of you. And I want to say with all of my heart, sincerely, thank you, every single one of you that have labored so much to do all the groundwork, the keeping, and everything that you've done through the years. We could name names. We could name families. We could name this. You don't. I know you're not asking for that, but it means so much to me. and I appreciate it. It means so much to Candy. We appreciate it so much. We don't get the opportunity as much to say thank you. I thank you with all my heart, and I appreciate it. At the same time, I'll say this. I want to see a day and hour where there's so much available financially for us that right now and through the years, we've had like times where we've had to fix it ourselves. And you know what? That's all right. That's perfect. When you don't, you know, you should have a lot of fix it yourself times, and people should get involved. But there's going to become times in the future where we're not all going to be able to get together and go fix this or go fix that or whatever. We're just going to, you know, need to call the repairman. Just go ahead and call the repairman and just know that the money is in there to say, well, the repairman says it's, you know, $3,000. You know, we'll shop around. We won't spend God's money frivolously, but it's not like we need to be in a place like, you know what, we need to call Rex and we need to call Marty and we need to call everybody together and see if we can have a work day to fix this because we don't have the money to fix it. Sometimes it's just, let's just write the check. You know, my Lord, let's just write the check. It needs to be there in the bank for that purpose. So hallelujah. There's some things that need to be fixed here now, and they will be fixed when the money comes in. Hallelujah. Or we'll have that family work day. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if I love you all, and be here tomorrow night at 8:30. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you and praise you for this night. I give you all the praise and glory. I ask you to bless your people, bless this congregation, bless us in our going. Speak to our hearts, and I pray that tomorrow night will be a wonderful night. And Lord, we just commit all things to you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.